This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
What do you get when you cross an array of old and new Hollywood stars? Add a touch of a swanky party and don't forget a huge serving of a life-changing event.
You get a recipe for disaster. Tonight on The Affair, Brett and the other Brett will be discussing the films that gave birth to a whole new genre, the disaster movie.
Very dramatic start this week, Brady.
Very much so.
That is the theme from what is claimed to be the original disaster film that started it all off in 1970, Airport. Tonight, it's The Disaster Affair.
It is indeed. It's all about those films with a big natural or man-made disaster, cast of thousands, hopefully lots of stars, preferably in evening gowns for the classic ones.
I know, and the glamour that all goes down the toilet.
Pretty much.
Now, we talked about about Airport, but before we do, we are asking the question to any listener tonight, what is your favourite disaster film? Now, obviously, Brady and I are going to be talking about our favourite disaster flicks.
We will.
But obviously, I just want to talk about Airport just quickly for a moment. Now, it was a disaster film from 1970. A variety of travellers that were basically affected by a bomb on a plane. The first film starred Dean Martin, Burn Lancaster, Jacqueline Bisset, Helen Hayes and Maureen Stapleton, just to name a few. Now, the earnings, Brady, guess how much it earned?
A lot.
Over $100 million.
That is insane.
That is insane. Now, the sequels,
which I actually think are better than Airport. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Name one of the sequels.
Airport 75.
Airport 77.
Mm-hmm.
Airport 79.
: The Concorde.
I love it when you do your research.
I don't need to do research on this one. This is coming from years of watching those films over and over again. I'm talking from experience tonight.
Oh, my God. And obviously, not forgetting the parody films of Flying High.
Yeah, well, they kind of unfortunately spelled a bit of an end to what I think is the prime period of the disaster film, which is the 70s.
Yes.
And I think once people had started seeing them being mocked, they then found it a little bit hard to take them seriously.
Yeah, but because I think by the end of the day, I mean, a whole decade of films, there is bound to become a bit of a formula of this genre.
Look, there was, and there were some shockers in that decade, but there were so many good ones.
Do you mean Roller Coaster was really bad?
I mean The Swarm, and that was by my fave Irwin Allen. That's woeful.
And this is the funny thing. Irwin Allen, who we're both discussing, you're discussing The Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, just spoiler alert. Well, tune out now, listeners, because there's nothing new coming in the next 20 minutes.
Already. And I'll be talking about The Towering Inferno. Now, I had no idea, A, that it was Irwin Allen's, that the films were both made by Irwin Allen.
Yes.
And so that was pretty amazing. But they were really the only two decent films he did, because The Swarm was pretty bad.
Yeah, but he did do some great movies for TV, Hanging by a Thread and those sort of things, where he went with exactly the same formula.
Yeah.
But, they weren't theatre films, so they don't count.
Okay. Now, Brady, obviously, we've looked at the themes to disaster films and...
Yeah, so normally we play on the show songs that come from or are closely related to the topic that we're talking about, but having it's got to be the morning after, stuck in my head all week, and that equally dreadful one from The Towering Inferno.
Oh, which is just, it's basically the follow-up to The Morning After.
Yeah, pretty much. The Morning After won an Academy Award for Best Song.
No. But then again, Rocky also won an Academy Award for Best Picture. Yeah. So the 70s were a little bit easy.
Yeah. So look, instead of going with music from the films, we've gone with, you know, song titles that are kind of related.
Fantastic. And the first one, it's by the Flirtations, Earthquake. You're listening to The Affair on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. It's The Disaster Affair. Hopefully The Affair won't be a disaster, but we are talking disaster films this evening. And in that vein, that was Hurricane by Grace Jones.
The beautiful Grace Jones. Mm,
she's quite scary in her own.
She's her own disaster.
In her own right. We are asking, too, what is your favourite disaster film? Let us know. Now, it's time for me to waffle. I'm going to talk about what is quite possibly my favourite ever film.
Yes.
Not just disaster. So we mentioned Airport. Coming home. Hot on the tail of Airport a couple of years later was what I think was the pinnacle of the disaster genre, The Poseidon Adventure.
Oh.
The number one box office hit of 1973, although it did come out in 1972.
Yes.
And by the following year, it was amongst the six most successful films in film history.
Wow.
So let's hear a little bit.
Early morning hours of New Year's Eve, the SS Poseidon, en route from New York to Athens, was struck by a 90-foot tidal wave.
Oh, my God.
And capsized. Irwin Allen's production of The Poseidon Adventure. Of 1,400 people on board, only a handful will survive. This is their story.
The way out. That's our only chance.
Don't listen to him!
Gene Hackman, Ernest Borgnine, Red Buttons, Carol Lindley, Roddy McDowell, Stella Stevens, Shelley Winters, Jack Albertson, Pamela Sue Martin, Arthur O'Connell, Eric Shea, and Leslie Nielsen. Who will survive? The combined talents of 15 Academy Award winners bring you The Poseidon Adventure, a Ronald Neame film. Coming from 20th Century Fox.
Oh, wow.
Wow. If that trailer doesn't make you want to see that film, I don't know what does. You may have heard him saying, oh, my God, there. It's Leslie Nielsen is the captain at the end of his serious acting career. And
yes.
Every time I watch it now, I expect, because he went on to do the airplane films, which we had as Flying High, you just expect him to make some smart, witty comment. Every time I see him in anything straight, it's a shock.
It's quite bizarre because I told you this, that I'd seen a lot of disaster films, apologies, but I'd never actually seen The Poseidon Adventure the entire way. So I watched it the other night, and when he popped up, I was like, what? How come you're doing it? Hence why he obviously did the Flying High franchises later on in the decade.
Yes, yeah. So look, the trailer does give you a summary. It's the SS Poseidon. It's on its last voyage ever before it goes to the scrap heap.
Yes.
And anyway, so look, it's heading from New York to Athens.
As you do.
It's New Year's Eve, which is a fantastic excuse for everyone to be wearing ball gowns and have lots of Christmas decorations and things.
And this is the thing. This is what I love about the big disaster films, is that there is the scene, the pivotal scene before the disaster happens, where everyone looks fabulous, and it's a great New Year's Eve party shot. Party
yes.
scene, sorry.
Yeah, it is. And look, you've got to have a bit of a build-up, because you can't have your disaster too soon.
No,
so you've got your little bit before the disaster where you set up all your backstory, and you get, in most of the disaster films, and The Poseidon Adventure's very similar, you've probably got about 8 to 10 kind of main characters. And and the disaster film, a good one, is never, ever just about the disaster. It's all about the love backstories. And
yes.
everyone's, you know, there's always an evil person who will usually die a fiery death.
Oh, yes. It's a very, like, if you've done bad.
If you've had sex outside of marriage, oh, you're probably going to die, especially with someone other than your wife or husband.
But also, if you've had a bit of a shady lady past as well, as AKA the cop's wife.
Yes.
Things don't always happen, come out. You don't come out the other end, do you?
No, you don't. And look, that is another thing about the Poseidon Adventure and most of the disaster films. You never know. Although they've got all these all-star casts, they're not all going to make it to the end. So I don't want to give away too much of the plot in case there's, you know, three people on the planet left who've never seen the Poseidon Adventure. But you never know. There might be some young people who haven't seen it. So look, yeah, as I said, basically New Year's Eve, right on the stroke of midnight, the boat gets hit by a tsunami long before any of us had even heard of tsunamis.
Yes.
Flips upside down, doesn't actually sink, so it's floating on the top of the ocean, but of course it's upside down. Pivotal scene starts, everyone's in the ballroom. To get out of the ballroom, they're now all standing on the ceiling of the ballroom and they need to go up because smart-ass little kid who's been hanging around the ship knows that the hull is only 1 inch thick at the rear of the boat.
Yes.
Okay, so they know that they have to go up and get to the hull.
And can I say, the one thing I always remember, and a lot of people remember from the Poseidon Adventure, is when it turns over and the tables are hanging off from the ceiling, and it's always been in my memory of that's the first thing I think of the Poseidon Adventure.
Yes. Well, the thing is, in boats, they do tie some of the furniture down. Yeah. So, yeah. So, look, you know, long story short, a group of survivors escapes. Of course, they tell the others to follow. They don't. They all have a horrible, tragic end.
Watery
and
graves.
And then it just gets worse and worse as they go from deck to deck. There's fire, there's floods, there's tragic plunges to death, and there is what should have been an Academy Award winning performance from the lovely Shelley Winters.
Yes.
She got a Golden Globe, but my God, she's good in this film. She put on so much weight for this role. She looks terrible.
I know, she does look terrible. I'm not sure if I buy the fact that she's a retired, she's part of a retired Jewish couple.
Yes.
Miss Rosen.
Yes.
However, Bell. But she does give a pretty good performance. I really liked it.
Awesome. Yes.
Hey, now, beyond the Poseidon Adventure, the sequel, Brady.
Yeah, look, it's not good. It's not good at all. Because really, they've escaped.
Yes.
You know, so look, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure was a disaster. It was not in a good way either.
Yeah.
It was a box office failure. It had an equally star-studded cast, but effectively it had this really bad plot about after the, giving away the ending of the first film, after some people may or may not have been rescued, pirate hunter, you know, treasure hunter people, what do you call them, scavenger people, go to the boat and then they end up having to go through the boat and it's just...
But this is the funny thing, right? Because the film is based on a book by Paul Gallico or Gallico and... The book and the film are nothing.
Oh, there's
similar.
A lot of similar scenes, but the book is a bit more gritty and has a few kind of bits that didn't make for popular family viewing in a disaster film.
What I found funny, though, he actually wrote, so Paul Gallico actually wrote the sequel, and which the Beyond the Poseidon Adventure is actually based on. And again, they actually just trashed his novel and rewrote a script. But the funny thing is, what was supposed to be...
Yes.
Now, this is what I love. It was supposed to be 1973. They proposed, or Irwin Allen proposed, a sequel that would have had the survivors testifying in a hearing on the disaster in Vienna. But whilst on the train to the hearing, they're going through a mile-long tunnel, it collapses, and it's all about the survivors trying to get out alive again. But the funny thing, so this was dropped, but the premise was actually eventually used in the film Daylight with Sylvester Stallone in the 90s.
I think that actually would have worked as a 70s disaster film. You know, that would have been great. It's much better than, you know, kind of Sandra Bullock going from Speed to Speed 2. There's actually a threat of not getting out of the tunnel.
I'm getting off the really fast bus to go on the really fast boat.
Yeah, which I could just jump off into the water and not die from. But anyway.
Now, obviously, let's touch base on the two remakes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Must we? Yes. Well, there was a 2005 remake with Brian Brown and Steve Guttenberg.
I've never seen that.
No, I haven't.
I don't even know. I want to.
And then obviously Poseidon in 2006. Now, I've seen this. I actually liked it, Brady.
I flatly refused to see it because I hold the Poseidon Adventure in such esteem that in my TV room, the only... Actually, no, there's two things hanging on the wall.
The TV room.
The TV room. Okay, my second bedroom, which has a TV in it because I don't have a TV in the living room. In my TV room, I only have two things hanging on the wall, and one of them is an original 1972 Poseidon Adventure poster from a movie theatre.
Oh, fantastic.
Which some friends bought me for my birthday.
Now, obviously, that's your favourite. Disaster film, but we're asking everyone what is their favourite disaster film. More disaster films coming up.
Oh, for sure. It's like a sequel after the break.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
You are on joy.org.au, Joy 94.9 also. It's our Brett and Brett, and tonight it's the disaster movie affair.
Oh, no, my God. We've just heard all about your favourites. Which was...
Well, you didn't hear all about it because I could have talked for the next 3 hours, but Dennis and Dick would complain.
Well, that's true. That's true. Now, obviously, and I didn't know this, Irwin Allen, obviously, the king.
The master of disaster.
Absolutely. And my favourite disaster film is The Towering Inferno. Now, what I love about this, and I didn't know this till recently, it was based on two books.
Mm-hmm.
One was called The Tower and one was called The Glass Inferno. Now, 20th Century Fox had bought the rights for one. Warner Brothers bought the rights for the other. And then they actually realised, hang on, we're going to have two films out about a fire in skyscrapers. They've done a joint production. And that was the first time ever two studios actually went, we'll do a combined production instead.
Do you know what? People should do that more often. Because
Absolutely.
How often these days do we have, you know, two films about the same thing seem to come out close together? And you could combine them and make one huge film like The Towering Inferno.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, we're going to play a little clip of the film.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? It seems that we have a small fire.
20th Century Fox and Warner Brothers present Irwin Allen's production of The Towering Inferno. Steve McQueen is the fire chief. Paul Newman is the architect. Now, the producer of the Poseidon Adventure brings you more spectacle, more star events than you've ever seen in one motion picture. William Holden.
If I remain within the building code, and goddammit, I did!
Fred Astaire, Jennifer Jones, Robert Wagner.
I'll be back with the whole fire department.
O.J. Simpson. Faye Dunaway.
Since you can stop worrying about me, what about me down there worrying about you?
Richard Chamberlain.
The women are gone. We are going next.
This is a race against time to save hundreds of people trapped in a night of blazing suspense as the world's tallest building becomes the Towering Inferno.
I just don't think that all of us are going to make it.
And Irwin Allen's production of The Towering Inferno.
So much drama, so much fire in one movie.
In one building.
In one building, Brady.
A towering inferno.
Oh, my goodness. Now, why I love this film. This was the first disaster film I ever watched. It was replayed on a Saturday night around 6:30 before our telethon.
Just young and early enough to traumatise the kiddies.
Yes.
To never want to go into a high-rise.
But it was hilarious because it was... I identified even at that age with so many Hollywood movie stars that were in it. And like the Poseidon Adventure, where the disaster occurs at a party,
mm-hmm.
It's the opening of this tower. It's the official opening, and there is a huge party at the restaurant a la Revolving.
The Promenade Room.
The Promenade Room. And
which obviously, I think is floor 139. It's crazy high.
Oh, yes. It's the highest building in San Francisco to this day. In fact, it's the highest building in the world.
Wow.
It is so camp. It is so full of drama. And touching on what you said before, and I think what Irwin Allen did, he did the Poseidon Adventure, basically, obviously, with... being inspired with Airport and about all the drama. And I think he pulled back on the drama with Poseidon Adventure and then he turned it back up with Towering Inferno because there's a long... Unlike the Poseidon Adventure, there's a long...
Backstory,
oh,
yeah.
to the point where it's a little bit convoluted in places.
See, the difficulty is fire burns quite quickly.
Yes.
So you can't really set fire to the building too early on in the film because basically, you know, in 20 minutes, the building will have burnt down.
But without ruining, absolutely, and without ruining the plot, obviously, people survive. And I'm actually surprised with the amount of survivors in this film.
Yes, yes.
Compared to other disaster flicks. What I loved about this is, I've got some tidbits for
Go
you.
On.
Esther Williams was actually, she was asked to appear in both The Poseidon Adventure and Towering Inferno. She declined. In the promenade room, there is a sculpture that was originally in the Harmonia Gardens set on Hello Dolly.
As you do.
How gay am I just now?
It's pretty gay, yeah.
Now, we've talked about the morning after. In the promenade room, in the background, you can actually hear the song The Morning
nice.
After. What I love about it was McQueen and Newman, because they were probably in the last stages of their stardom.
Yes, yes. There was a big rivalry between them because they were big stars.
Absolutely. And what I loved was McQueen demanded that, because he was originally going for the Paul Newman character.
The architect. Yes.
The architect. And obviously McQueen is the fire chief.
The fire chief, yes.
And it had to be written in that they had to have equal billing. And they had to have the same amount of dialogue.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. So when they did the equal billing, they list them from left to right.
Yes.
The person on the right, the name on the right is slightly higher. So if you're reading down, they have first billing. But if you're reading from the left, the other person has billing. So Paul Newman actually wasn't very happy with that whole equal lines thing.
Yeah.
Because he's in the film right from the start because he's
yes.
the architect. So all his lines are in the first half. So he's really quiet in the second half of the film, whereas Stephen McQueen's all wordy, getting his word count up.
Exactly. And it's a little bit silly. Now, some of my favourite characters, I love Fred Astaire in this film. It was one of his last films, big Hollywood blockbuster films. Faye Dunaway, I absolutely adore.
She is awesome.
Now, because of there's two great scenes of how they put out the fire. That is from one novel, and the wonderful makeshift glass elevator, the open air.
The scenic elevator.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's this glass scenic elevator that goes up the outside of the building.
Yeah, yeah.
And as part of the rescue attempt, it ends up hanging off the side of the building.
Yeah, and that is from the other film. So that's where some of the critical parts and drama, they actually did chop and put in the same film.
And do you know, can I just say about that elevator, two things. One, I really think that's where Irwin Allen ran with the hanging by a thread telemovie, because that was about a cable car. So exactly the same thing. And that hotel, the building,
yes,
is still there.
Yes.
And you can ride in the scenic elevators.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm really angry that I only found out about that today. And I could have done it when I was in America. Damn it.
Is it the Hyatt? Or it's one of the
hotels. It's one of the big hotel chains.
Anyway, it's obviously not 139 stories high.
No.
But yeah, you can ride in the scenic elevators.
Oh, look, and something else I loved was that Irwin Allen actually, he wanted the cast to be actually surprised when the fire was going through the building. So he decided to fire a loaded handgun into the ceiling. Everyone crapped themselves and he took the shot.
There you go. Do you know what I love about this film, though?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the fire burns for like an hour and a half,
yes.
right? You never see anything burnt. All you ever see is flames. You
yes.
never see any burnt out rooms or it's just flames and smoke.
It's just flames and smoke.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Hey, so as we discussed before, the theme was pretty bad from this. And instead, we're playing the beautiful Donna Summer with I'm a Fire.
She's a fire.
You're listening to The Affair on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Sam Sparrow, and you're listening to Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Sam Sparrow. You are listening to The Disaster Movie Affair tonight on Joy 94.9. It's Brett and the other Brett waffling on, or being kooky, as Chappelle said we would be earlier.
Well, we are a bit kooky.
Well, I guess so. Hey, look, we're talking all things disaster
yes.
movies tonight. We've focused on the 70s. I would just like to give an honorary mention
yes.
to one of my other favourite disaster films,
yes.
A Night to Remember. Now, this is a 1958 movie. It's
yes.
in black and white.
Yes.
And it's still regarded by film buffs as the ultimate Titanic movie.
Yes.
It's so much better than that convoluted, mega-budget James Cameron thing from 1997. It's absolutely fantastic. It was made on a budget of $1.6 million. It is brilliant. It's, well, it's the story of the Titanic. It's shot in black and white.
Yeah.
It's so simple, and it so much more humanizes the disaster. Like, again, it's got your typical disaster film ingredients. It's got kind of your cast of like 8 to 10
yes.
key characters who have all got their own little backstories and things
yeah.
like that. Again, not all of them survive.
No.
There are a lot of similarities with the James Cameron thing. It includes the unsinkable Molly Brown, who was played by Kathy Bates in the James Cameron
yes.
version, the American socialite who begged the lifeboats to go back and
yes.
pick up the people who were drowning. And it's so well shot. I watched the making of it documentary
yeah.
and they got a boat to do some of the shots. They built the midsection of the boat on an angle
yes.
to, and they had a, because they don't shoot films chronologically,
yes.
they went through and worked out what angle the boat should be on in every shot.
Wow.
So each time they would film a scene, they would tilt the camera, and if they tilted it the opposite way to what the set was built,
yep.
the boat would be up the right way. Then they could tilt it the way that it was. Then they could tilt it even further, and it gets tiltier and tiltier, for want of a better word. Throughout the length of the film. Look, it's absolutely fantastic. The Americans didn't know how to sell it because it had no stars. It's just brilliant. I urge you to go out and see it.
Now, I haven't seen all of it. I've only seen clips of it. And I have to say, because I love a good old black and white, it's the bits that I've seen, it's fascinating because it's really the story and it's the proper, it's not the made up or snippety snipped drama.
Yeah, it's not focused on, you know, Leo and Kate.
Yes.
And, you know, there's no like fake drama added to it. It's
yeah.
really, and it deals much better with the difference between the upper class and the first class passengers and the steerage passengers. And it's just fascinating. And there were quite a few to make the film.
Yes.
This was also based on a book.
Yes.
But to make the film, they actually interviewed a lot of actual Titanic survivors. They interviewed about 60 survivors because it was made in 1958.
Yes.
So, you know, that was only kind of 40 years after the Titanic had sunk. So there were still quite a lot of survivors alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that regard, it's apparently a lot more realistic than that James Cameron
then,
thing.
Then should we really give A Night to Remember? That is really the original disaster flick.
Well, look, if you're going to go like that, you could go back to like 1907 to all those
true.
Black and white ones.
But, that's true.
But look, it's a fantastic film. I urge you to go and see it.
Absolutely. Now, Brittany, in the meantime, because we've been asking people what is their favourite disaster film, and we're still asking, and the wonderful Steve has emailed in and said, "Hi, the architect's girlfriend who falls to a death from the love nest was Stephanie from Bold and the Beautiful." Steve, good pickup.
Susan Flannery.
And also, we've had wonderful Ben saying, "Did you know Susan Flannery was from The Bold and the Beautiful was Inferno?" I think it was Robert Wagner's secretary. Oh, look, I love the gays for picking up on the Bold and the Beautiful
yeah,
references.
Yeah.
Hey, also, what I didn't get to mention before about The Towering Inferno, both of the novels were actually inspired by the construction of the World Trade Center.
Yes.
And I don't know why, because it was such a big... I mean, this is a film that was the highest grossing film in 1974. It won 8 Oscars, Brady. Oh, sorry, it was nominated for 8. Won 3, which is huge.
Yeah.
There was no plans for a sequel. And you think about Hollywood nowadays, if there's a sniffing of success of a film, they've locked you in for 2 or 3 other films. And I don't know now, because of what's happened with September 11 and the bombing of World Trade Center 1 and 2, that's why they've just steered clear. And I think it's sort of time. I'd love a good remake of The Towering Inferno. Old Hollywood, new Hollywood, couple of bit of drama thrown in as well, and some great effects.
Yeah, look, the effects do have to be good, though. You know, the genre did have a bit of a resurgence in the
yes.
90s once CGI came along. I still don't think they can compete with the, like, some of the special effects are a little dodgy in some
yes.
of these films from the 70s, but it's more about the human side. It's
yep.
they're character stories that happen to be set against the backdrop of a disaster.
The story of survival. And
oh.
one thing, you're talking about bad effects. I won't even mention Earthquake in 1974, where they basically shook the camera and pushed Eva Gardner over. But I'm going to play something related to Earthquake by Martika. I feel the earth move, Brady. It's the Disaster Fair on Joy 94.9 tonight.
Gay radio, online, all the time. Joy.org.au.
Just like a good disaster film, we've come to the end, but we've both survived.
We've survived.
We have.
It's the next day. It's the day after tomorrow.
It'll be the morning. They often finish at dawn.
Yes.
Yes, because that's like a symbol of, you know, new day, new life.
A new day has broken.
Yes.
At Joy.
There's got to be a morning after. I should have just played that
we
song.
We should have. It was just so bad, Brady.
Yeah.
It's
not
just,
good.
It's just bad. Look, we've done the disaster films. We will be back next week, Brady, won't we?
We will indeed. I'm sure you can. Can't wait, listeners. We'll be back at 6 o'clock next week. Or you can, don't forget, you can also podcast us.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. I sometimes forget that we're on the radio, yeah. Don't I, my darling?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
So to play us out tonight, what song?
Got to be related to a disaster.
It's got to be related and... or not. It's the Bee Gees. It's Emotion.
You know what? You get some upsetting emotions in a disaster film.
It's been a disaster, Brady.
It is.
Good night, Australia.
Joy 94.9.
This has been another podcast of The Affair on Joy 94.9.
You can always catch us at 6 p.m. on Saturday nights on Joy 94.9.
And catch us online at joy.org.au/theaffair.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.